Let's move on to David Icke, and he's maybe the most successful of these whistleblowers in the fringe media, Ed? I mean,
well, he has written, you know, quite a few books, and apparently they're quite popular.
Right, so let's see what he says, Ion.
I'm David Icke from England. I went through an extraordinary series of what you might call paranormal experiences, not that they were, 20 years ago in 1989, and basically the veil lifted. And I saw the world in a completely different way. And I started on a journey of research, which has led me over 20 years to a very obvious conclusion that this world is controlled by very, very few people behind the people we think are in power. And they have a very, very malevolent agenda for humanity as a whole, who to them are nothing more than cattle. This family, bloodline, interbreeding control system of these elite families was not just a human thing. It went beyond that into entities that are anything but human. And it was only with the passage of the years and more research when I started to realize the nature of this reality that we're experiencing that made sense in how this structure is playing out. Just outside of the frequency range of visible light, there are entities that are anything but human who have been manipulating this reality, this world, for eons.
Ion, just outside the just outside the visible frequency of light are these entities who have been manipulating us for eons. Obviously, you don't agree with that.
Wait a minute. This is interesting. Say that sentence. Run that by me one more time, Bob.
Outside the visible frequency of light.
Outside the visible frequency of light. And it's been going on for eons. Well, if it's outside of where light travels, how do they gauge a span of time and light years outside the frequency of light as an eon? You can't do it. If it's outside the visible frequency of light, you can't say it's been on for an eon because you don't have anything to gauge how long an eon is if you have if it's beyond the frequency of light. Now, we don't have time. We don't have time, but you can't get there from there.
So you're pointing out the illusion of that statement. It does not refer to anything.
Well, it refers not to what he's saying. He's saying outside the frequent. That's why we ask you to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Because it's kind of like, well, now, wait a second. If it's outside the frequency of light, how do you gauge an eon? What do you base an eon on if it's outside the frequency of light? Because that's how you get an eon, scheduled and registered in light years. Well, if it's outside the frequency of light, how do you get there? And maybe they're way smart. Humans are real smart. They can come up with everything under the sun. But, hey, come on, if you're going to do this, get something that's logical.
Okay, so he's saying there are entities, just as there are ghosts, as you talk about, that we cannot see or we believe we cannot see.
Space ghosts, coast to coast, that's right.
Right, so you can't say that ghosts are outside the visible frequency of light because you can see them, it's just you're blocking.
Correct.
So
correct.
You wouldn't have a standard of visible frequency that you couldn't pass.
Right, and if you did that way, then you'd have to gauge how long you've been doing it. And those light years that pass is how you calculate an eon.
He fails on that opening clause.
If that's what you're building on, because see, all these statements are building on the next. It's kind of like, okay, if you let that by, now here's another one. If you let that by, okay, here's another one. Well, after a little while, you can't believe none of it, because it's like if you're starting off with something you can't get to, how do you ever validate the next point off the last point? We're not being mean or cheeky. We're just asking the question, that's all.
Aside from that, are there entities outside? I guess if you don't know who the mayor of your town is, you've never experienced the mayor, that's someone outside of your visible frequency, and they run the government that might be controlling you. That could apply to anybody on any level.
Well, and if you had no knowledge of this mayor that's running you, and you don't know who they are, and they have all power over you, and they tell you when to go to bed and when to get up and what to do and how to do it, and every dynamic of regarding it, and then you make them don't know anything about them, never heard anything about them, and then they come back and say, oh, well, they've been the mayor or the sheriff of your town for eons. What do you base that on? You see what I'm saying? How you get there? I mean, you can get there, but you can't get there from there.
Well, we've been down this meme a lot, many times before. ION doesn't see anybody being controlled by anything.
Well, yes, they're controlled. Yes. They are controlled by something. They're controlled by their own place of power. And hence what's being exerted here is Mr. Ikey's place of power, that he's telling you something that you're supposed to then decide if that's okay and right for you or not. But the variable that's the issue at hand is, okay, you're a marvelous human creator, and you can create them all this stuff, everything you give a name to. Well, who named these devils? You did. So they can be. But don't run around saying, okay, I created this, and they can't be seen, and there is no light years, and they've been around for eons. At least get your dogma to match up with your karma.
What is it about humans who like to listen to stories? Is that they're sort of allowing themselves to be told something? Well,
the vast placations of the mind.
It's a distraction from making your own stories to yourself?
No, it's a distraction so you can... It's not how you win or lose, Bob. It's how you place the blame.
Oh, so it's an effort to move the blame away from yourself.
Well, he's telling you this information so you can know whose fault it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's like, no. You're the human creator. How come everybody hadn't been rectally probed? Oh, yes, they have. Everybody's been rectally probed. Okay, well, they must like it then.
So there's the common archetype. A lot of human behavior that allows things to be told to one, or a lot of engaging in being told stories, is looking for where to place the blame.
Except you get a little Lizzie Borden. You get a Lizzie Borden who gets mad as hell and ain't going to take it no more. And then guess what? They make a story about her.
Who's Lizzie Borden?
You know, she gave her mama 40 whacks and gave her father 41. She chopped him up with an axe.
Oh, okay.
Lizzie Borden.
Okay, here we go. More of David Icke.
And because they are working on operating on a frequency that's different to ours, they have to manipulate our world through conduits.
Wait a minute, Bob. Just wait a minute.
You don't like
no,
this.
No. Have you had your medicine, Bob? How are you letting this pass? Who is they? Who is they? Come on, Mr. Interviewer. We can't even help you here. You got to do something. Who is they? They work on a different frequency. Who is they?
The ones who are in the invisible frequency. You know,
well, who are
another.
They? So invisible.
A reptilian.
Nobody...
No. He's famous for the reptilian meme.
Well, granted, but this they that we're being referred to here, if he's going to at least. Gosh, Marshall wouldn't even put up with this. He ain't even telling us who he ain't telling us what he's trying to tell us.
No, but this is just an excerpt, and he's well known for telling, right, Ed? It's well known that they are the reptilians.
True.
The Lemurians.
Now, Ion points out there actually are Lemurians who are reptilians. I don't think he thinks they're Lemurians. He thinks they're just malevolent forces. Do you see, Ion, the Lemurians?
Well, our definition at least has something you can attach to it. If they're just some, inky, misty darkness somewhere that nobody can know anything about, hey, that's kind of like worrying about snakes in your garden when you got spiders in your bed.
The Lemurians.
You've got your denominator so far cued down to the point that you've got to be afeared of something that you can't get to, that can't get to you, that has no interaction with you. You can't see them. You can't know what they're doing. So what difference does it make?
Well, we'll see. But on the record here, you're saying that there are species known as Lemurians who are real and physical.
Everything under the sun, human creators created.
We created them, and they're functioning today in our society.
Only problem is Mr. Heike has failed to name them.
Right.
Even Lewis Carroll would name them.
Right, but, he names them as reptilians or something, okay? So he's got a name.
Oh.
I haven't read any of his books, but I've heard a bit about him, so I may not be exactly right. Ed can correct me, but I definitely know he's associated with the name reptilians. He created that meme in popular culture. So he has named them.
So this will be the revenge of the salamanders. They're reptilian.
Yeah. And what I find interesting is that you have told us about the Lemurians who actually live on this planet. They're not human.
Right.
And he might have they're in positions of authority here and there. Ion's told me privately where one who is visible. Now, if you happen to see him on TV like Ike did maybe, and he saw something in the person's eyes, he might have actually seen a Lemurian, which is a question. Did he actually see a Lemurian? I know he reported.
No, he saw a bloodshot eye in George Bush's eye. He had a little thing in his ocular lobe. He blew a blood vessel, and it was very clear and obvious that he just busted a blood vessel.
You're saying personally, you know, Ion, that Bush's image had reinforced his theory.
Bush, now come on, Bob. Bush's image reinforced his theory. Ike's theory that Bush was a reptile. Bush's theory that he just had a bad thing in his eye. Ike's theory that Bush was covering up with an aneurysm in his eye so he wouldn't be found out as a Lemurian or as a reptile. We can't let this go.
Okay, I'm just saying that you cited that he saw the bloodshot eye in the senior Bush, I think you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's
why we didn't say W.
Yeah, and that is why he started to think there were reptilians in presidential positions.
Okay.
Right, that's what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah, okay. But I don't know how he had time to be president if he's running around shooting humans in Branson, Missouri.
No, that's Kathy O'Brien.
Oh.
We're on another source now.
Well, this apple isn't falling very far from the tree so far.
All right, but, you know, George Bush didn't have much to do in a regular presidential aspect, so he could take time off to go shoot people.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
For instance, when you see scientists in a laboratory, they want to work with material that's very dangerous. So the material will be in a big glass tank, and they will be outside the tank, and they'll put on those gloves, and they can work from outside the tank into the tank and do what they have to do.
Bob, JW wants to know where he can get some of them gloves that'll reach through glass.
Why does he want to know that?
He wants a pair. That's be real handy.
Right, and why are you bringing that up?
Think about what's being said. Everything that's dangerous, they put in glass, okay? And then they use gloves, and they reach through the glass, with these special gloves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very, very similar in theme to what these Illuminati bloodlines have been bred for. They are bred to be the vehicles within visible light, this world that we experience, of these entities. And if you go back and you look at religious beliefs, etc., of the ancients and the accounts of the ancients, these entities, which go under different names, some people call them the serpent race, some people call them demonic. In the Islamic culture, they call them jinns, all different names, but the same entities. The bloodlines are interbreeding incessantly and have been right back to ancient Babylon and Sumer and Egypt, etc., and beyond. Because they are holding a certain genetic code which allows the possession, another ancient, ancient common theme from as far back as you can track right to today, a genetic code which allows these entities to possess these particular bloodline families within the reality that we experience, and these families are therefore simply vehicles of these demonic entities. You research any of these families, be it the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Greenspan, Alan Greenspan, any of these people, you will go eventually into black magic, blood-drinking human sacrifice rituals where they make sacrifices to the gods. And these gods are these entities which feed off human energy and feed off human blood too.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Lemurians. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of the bloodline. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of the reptilians. Come on, if he's talking, okay, we'll clean it up. Ed, just while he's getting his green drink, just come on here now. Let's play a little bit.
Okay.
Ed, now, would you like some information about the information that he's disseminating as misinformation as the right information? Or do you have some questions regarding it? Are you just going to take this, well, let's just say it, babbly-gabbly book for what it is? Which way you want it?
Well, let's go ahead with choice number one.
All right. What he's talking about, he's talking about the bloodline. Well, everything is about the bloodline. It's all in the blood. It's all in the juicy stuff that feeds the meat sack body. If you're talking about human creators are in a position to where they got disconnected from their power. That's why they imbued the power into the Ark of the Covenant. Pre-fall of man, they did have a different DNA. Pre-fall of man, they did have a different code. Pre-fall of man, they did have what you call an ascended experience here on planet Earth. Okay? So if you could draw a vast line from this mess he's talking about, okay, fine. But if you ain't figured out the these and the theys and the thats and the those and the which and whens, you could very easily say, oh, okay, so we ascended from the monkey's butthole. No, no, wait. We ascended from the lizard snake people. No, no, no. He doesn't really say that. What he's talking about is the bloodline of those that have maintained their place of power. Well, if that's the case, why does that have to be some conspiratorial Senate subcommittee arraigned to go at bar at issue of how everybody else on the planet that separated themselves from a bloodline also that made them subject to these salamander people? See, you get an ipso facto ratio here, but if you go all the way back, if you really want to go back to before you could keep up with things, we like that. That was cute. Just take on Occam's razor. There was a time in time of time when before time, when there is no time, well, no, there is no time. Okay, so that must be now, when you didn't separate yourself from your power, and so you would have a different blood information flowing through your body that would have a causal, introspective rationale that your DNA would be different than it is now. Okay? If you're saying that, great. And if there are a handful of those that never forfeited their power, why you got to call them salamanders, we don't quite get. But and then they're not the world dominant power because they know their power. They're not bothered with authority. Everything that's been said so far is all about authority and nothing about power. It's all about how someone reigns over it. But we find it very deliciously interesting that everybody that keeps mentioning that's supposed to be in power ain't got two nickels to rub together or a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of all of a sudden already anymore. Well, if the salamanders, did they kill them off? Oh, it was the Dow Chemical Company that got roach-proof, and the roach-proof eat up all the Lemurians. That's it. They've done away with them all. Well, at least that's coming into a place of power, if that's what you're calling them. What he's trying to use is he's trying to use an extrapolation, leading the witness is what Bob accuses it of saying this is this way, and so this is that, and that is this. So because that was this and this is that, then it's the salamander people that's rectally probing you. Well, now how you get there from there? If you can leave that dynamic of the stuff out, and yes, salamanders have a different DNA than you do, Ed. All right? Salamanders do have DNA. Do you go along with that? And you also have DNA. So therefore, if you both have DNA, what would be different than what he's saying, that you come from the same DNA line? Both got DNA. Now, when we say it, the way we explain it, you go, come on, Ion, that's just silly. And we go, exactly. It most absolutely is silly. But then coming around to saying that this is where all this came from, and this is why a handful made it, and they're lizard people, and they're running everything, and they're going to tell you something. No, they're not going to tell you something. They're going to rule forever because they've been around forever. Well, they don't. They keep burying them dogs. And there's this subculture, this alien reptilian subculture that's playing you all for the fool. Well, okay, then we would instigate ignorance as bliss and go with it. Have some fun. If everything goes wrong, don't blame the government. Blame the salamanders. You damn salamanders, you promised us a 40 acres and a mule, and you supposed to provide us with every creature comfort and taking care of everything. So if you're going to give all the power to the salamanders, let them be in charge of it. Let them. I ain't going to work no more. I'm going to let the salamanders take care of it for me. Oh, no, then you'll be subjugated. I'm in the bloodline of the salamanders. Oh, I got me some salamander RNA telling my DNA how to straighten it all out. Oh, that's wonderful. And I guess them salamanders invented all these disconnections and all these drug companies to make all these things, and they invented coffee because that was going to be bad for you, and then it's going to be good for you. And then let's go older than that. Go to wine. Okay, this week wine's bad for you. Okay, now this week one glass of wine is what you can have. Well, Julia Child said right quick, no, don't get tangled up with that. It's one glass of wine at a time. The only time you get in trouble is if you get five or six glasses started. Just drink one glass of wine at a time. That's how you do that. But the point of all this flow is this ipso facto dynamic that this is this and this is this and this is this, so this is why, is nothing other than feeding the degree of separation of you humans separated yourself from your individual power. And when you separated, then you had to be less than. Well, those that didn't separate from their power to you might have seemed more than. And if you're trying to catch up to where they are, they're so busy pleasing and delighting themselves, they don't care what you think of them. Okay? Because mm-hmm. As you're processing this flow, they're processing as well. So once you get in your place, back to your place of power, you quit caring what the salamanders is doing to you. So your DNA structure and the strata that he's trying to lay out here, meagerly, we'll give you that, you can't get there from there. There's too many holes. Too many days. or what you call that, it would be, I guess it would be an anarchy, unarchetypal meme.
Did I hear you say, Ion, that at the DNA level, we are the same as reptilians? Is that what you said?
No, we were being cheeky, taking the Ike road to nowhere, saying salamanders have DNA, right? Ed, right. And then we said, okay, Ed, you have DNA, right? Ed said, right. But okay, based on what Mr. Ike is telling you, that because salamanders have got DNA and you've got DNA, then you must be part of that same thing. So therefore, both of you have DNA, so both of you must have come from that same archetypal bloodline.
Well, wait a minute. He wasn't saying that. He was saying they're in another visible frequency.
Back it up.
Yeah, he can't back
exactly
it up.
That's what he's saying. He's saying that because of these bloodlines of these salamander people that are over everything and running everything, they never separated from their power and got their DNA crossed up with anything. Oh, but they've been breeding. They've been breeding prolifically. Okay. And then that made a whole race of these super DNA salamander hybrids.
Illuminati bloodline.
Illuminati bloodline, yeah. But you see, with all that inbreeding, you kind of get like back to Deliverance, Alabama, if you're not careful with all that inbreeding. But we'll be easy with it. Or maybe it's kind of like V, where they're going to start matching you up with the humans and the lizard people. And maybe
the TV show V. The TV show V.
Been a couple around.
He's not saying they're the same DNA. I'm not getting your point.
Yes, he is. We're saying salamanders have DNA, Ed has DNA, so if you both got DNA, then you flow together. All right, and that's silly. Well, what he's saying is that the DNA, the bloodline of this DNA, this super DNA that they have, and they've been breeding with humans prolifically, that's got to be usable or togetherable. Otherwise, you'd get weird things that would not work. A dog and a salamander cannot mate and make little salad dogs.
Are you saying that the salamanders mate with the Illuminati bloodlines?
That's what
he's saying? Oh, okay. And you're saying that can't happen. Oh, okay.
Well,
so you're saying,
think about it. If that
falls. No, I just want to get what you're saying. You're saying that he's saying that the Illuminati inbreed with the salamanders, and they keep in the coded DNA together. And you're saying they can't mate. If there were such a thing, they couldn't mate.
Correct.
Okay.
If you take a woman and a giraffe, you don't have little.
Right. Okay. Ed, is he saying is Ike saying that the Illuminati bloodlines mate with the reptilians?
I believe he is saying that.
Okay. And so I'm saying
they keep the bloodline.
Okay. If he's saying that, Ion's pointing out that can't be done within known science.
Well, but if you've got super DNA, somebody smartened up so they figured out how to master the code to get the humans back to where they were. Now, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, I know you're saying that.
Were, then, okay, fine. That's a bloodline. That flows. But don't have nothing to do with reptiles and salamanders and lizards and...
Right. You're saying that there is an Illuminati bloodline in a not negative sense, don't know if you'd say positive, but that there are those that have a lot more DNA
Now, see, there you go, a lot.
Yeah,
more
that won't
DNA.
Go into okay.
Yeah,
talk.
Come on, Bob. Yeah. You've had your green drink now.
I have no alibi.
And drank the Kool-Aid now.
Yeah, I won't say it. I won't say the secret, but the point
fine,
is.
No. Let's get it. There are those who never separated from their place of power. And if they never separated from their place of power, their increased number of double helix strands of their DNA most certainly would not resemble Ed.
We now know that Ed ain't Illuminati.
Okay. So if that's the case, If that's the case, then okay, fine. But now don't leave it to chance, because Ed can come into his power and he can get his DNA back to where it was.
That's right.
Okay,
now okay.
If he does that make Ed a salamander now?
No.
No, it don't make him a salamander. But if you listen to Mr. Icke, that's the best hope you got if you overtake your country again, is you've got to become a Healy monster.
Excellent point. And this is what's great about reviewing this kind of information, Ed. We get new insights from forced out of Ion, forced out of them, because of the absurdity of the vacuum and a vacuum of the information we're examining. That's the point, Ed. That's why we're doing it.
Go Occam's razor, and you don't you get any more green drinks. You stay to work. Let's go. Ah, spit.
Okay.
Salamander spit. Now, that's the thing. Do reptiles make saliva? Now, that's a good question. Does the DNA of this Illuminati strand, do they make saliva?
Well, Icke says that he got his information from his own internal sources. So this would imply from a non-physical.
Okay. Okay. Well, okay. We won't push against that. That's okay. Well, then could you have a dynamic if non-physical sources... Or his own, he didn't say non-physical, he said internal.
Yes.
All right. So if it's internal sources, why couldn't they be clear? For example, lay out the Illuminati. What DNA test, what does the Illuminati DNA look like that's different from his less than DNA? If the internal source told him that there was these differences, why couldn't the internal source tell him what the difference was? And then lay it out and say, this is how many double helix strands the lizard people's got, and this is how many humans got. And when the lizard people I guess these humans then are lizard people by injection. Well, that's a little cheeky, but maybe after this breeding kind of comes on and this mutant sperm comes along that increases this, that's how they keep this bloodline going. Because, see, otherwise you'd have a finite Illuminati unless they was autosexual. Oh, wait. Reptiles are autosexual. Okay, so they can just spawn themselves. Okay, well, we can go along with that. Great, good, wonderful. But you see, the twist and the twix and the twain, the issue becomes that if you can get that information, why can't you get the Paul Harvey version of the story? That was the question.
Well, are you saying it's because of separation that he's not getting the Paul Harvey version?
Yeah, and if you ain't getting the Paul Harvey version, what version are you got? If the internal sources are smart enough to enlighten him on what's really going on, why can't you tell him what's really going on? Spell it out. What's the difference? How do you get there? How do you get there from here, and how'd you get there from there? And if you can do that, then you got something you can sort of work with. Is that logical? Is that extreme, or are we missing something here?
No, it is logical.
If you can get the crib notes, why can't you get the class notes?
Okay, so a lingering point of what you said earlier around the Icke topic, you hinted that the Rothschild Rockefellers are pretty well empty pockets now.
Well, either that or their inbreeding caught up with them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's carry on with David Icke here.
So people accept, yes. Long ago, people used to human sacrifice to the gods, yes, and all the rest of it. And they think, oh, no, we're kind of civilized now. Well, some of us are, but these bloodlines are not. And they're just continuing to do today covertly what they were openly doing in the past. And they are interacting with these entities all the time in their rituals. That's why they do all these rituals. That's why they drink the blood. and ultimately they are possessed by these entities. And this brings about a simple situation. You've got the entities, let's call them demonic entities for want of a word. They're operating just outside of this visible light reality that we experience. They use the bloodline families as their vehicle to manipulate this reality. They take over their mental, what passes for their emotional processes, their physical processes. And what that means is, when these bloodline families go into positions of power, what we're actually doing is seeing these entities go into those positions of power. And so the secret society network is there to manipulate these bloodline families and their agents into the positions that dictate society and the direction it goes and all the rest of it. And because we can only decode their visible light level, we see the human level. We see people under different names called Rockefeller and Rothschild and Bush and Obama and all the rest of it. But if we could see beyond visible light, just a little bit, and some people can, you would see overshadowing these people anything but a human entity. And it's these entities that have passed through what we call history, and they have been the cement, the guiding force that has brought this conspiracy through to the present day. Because people have asked me in the past, quite rightly, I understand it, why would someone give their life to this conspiracy, this global takeover, in 1500 or 1650 or 1820, when they knew they were never going to be around to actually see it happen, which is what they're trying to do now, playing the cards they're playing now? The answer to that is they were just vehicles. These entities are the common force passing through history, which has led this conspiracy to where it is today. What the system has done is to keep from us the nature of the reality we're experiencing and the nature of who we are in life itself. And in doing so, it has kept us completely in the dark about what's actually happening around us.
You're in the dark. You're just like mushrooms. You're fed a bunch of shit and kept in the dark. Okay? Less than. Then they keep going their places of power, and then they assimilate you. Well, if they were in power, why would they want to be you? Oh, it's because you're in the darkness. Wait a minute. They're outside the field of light, so all you can see is the darkness, and you're dark. So if you become dark, you ought to be able to see them. You'd be where they are if they assimilate you. But because you're so stupid, uh-oh, there's that word again. You're so stupid, all you can see is what you see. And you see them as humans. Well, if you're that gullible, then you ought to be invaded, and you ought to be screwed, and you ought to get the astro glide, and hang on, it'll be over soon. So it's okay.
So we do have souls, we have ghosts around us, but they're not devilish or demons. We have angels around us.
He wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about the lizard power people, the salamander leaders.
Yeah, but he's saying they're demonic.
Well, that's just, well, okay.
No, he projects a bad shadow on them, but the
bad robot.
But it is true that there are things that we are trained not to see that are around us.
Trained,
and trained, or
I hear the train a coming. It's rolling around the bend. You can hear a freight train long before it's coming. How are you going to have a train?
Right. So you're saying that there's no possibility in any kind of hypnotic, psychological programming anybody, because one would have to agree to it, so you did it to yourself, and you
exactly.
wanted that condition.
Exactly, or it wouldn't be.
The thing that makes that those decisions cannot be experienced, because it's forever. Therefore, where do you get a handle on it? The consciousness. That's why Anne says we have no consciousness. You do not have access to the thing that's making the decision. It is happening. You could know it's happening, but you can't feel the original fulcrum that's operating your being because there's no beginning. Now, Ian, correct me on that.
Those were pretty good words. It wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
The fulcrum is what you balance your prince of tides regarding. You have to have something to balance it against. Otherwise, you'd be known as imbalanced.
Mm.
The balance of a fulcrum, of a rod balanced in a fulcrum. You've got to balance it against something. And what he's laying you off on is there's nothing to balance against.
If we're eternal, if there's like no ground, it's like the Buddhist void. It's not an empty void. It's a vibrant, lovely void. But there's no position to judge where you are from.
And to make that judgment, you'd find it'll be salamanders will be taken. Next thing, it'll be the Roach King. The Roach King will come take you over and probe you rectally and straighten you all out. And we're just not going to have this gobbledygook that puts human creators in a less than position. They're doing that all great job of that all by themselves. The last thing that's required from non-physical is to confirm that the ancient Sumerian Hebraloids are more powerful than you.
So the only thing that would be worth telling another human being is to tell them don't feel less than. Anything
I
else?
I only see the best in you.
Right. That's the only thing
Adolf
to say.
Adolf Hitler. How could you say that to Adolf Hitler? Oh, it's wonderful. You changed all of history. We're still talking about yourself. We've been talking about Adolf Hitler about as long as you've been talking about Jesus.
Yeah. More movies made about Hitler than Jesus.
Absolutely. More emotion wrought about Hitler than Jesus.
So, it's almost like there's no point in saying anything other than because who you're talking to is much inclined to make themselves feel less than up till recently, and because
or confuse their own power with their authority. Now we're not going to let this go anymore. We've been real easy up until now.
Stand back.
It's
the beginning of puppet
running
right
around.
Now.
They're running around here, asserting their power. No, they're not. They're running around asserting their authority. Gods rarely ever have to tell you they're God.
If gods don't tell you anything.
They don't tell you they're God, and that's why you should be listening to me.
Right. In other words, authority is the basic meme of somebody trying to tell someone else something.
Well,
just trying to tell them something.
Is being confused with power all day, every day. And like I say, we've been soft with it, but no more. Enough. You're going to be called out. When you confuse power and authority, we're going to stop the presses right then, and we're going to address it right then. Because you'll get yourself into a very authoritative position, and you'll find yourself way less than, because what you're doing is you're canceling your place of power.
Yeah, you catch anybody trying to tell us something? We ain't going to have it anymore. Now, are we trying to tell anybody anything on here in this show?
We hadn't so far yet.
We've brought up some interesting sidebar facts or non-facts.
Well, but if that could come into your place of knowing and you don't get confounded by the authority, then you got a chance to engage power. That's all Jesus tried to tell you since all three of them. That's what they're trying to tell you was, don't get hung up in the authority part. Let it go. Be in your place of power, and all these things will be added in. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, you, and his, your righteousness. And all these things, stuff, manifestations, will be added unto you. Well, how did that make the Bible when Thomas didn't make it?
Yeah, how come it did?
Well, they were trying to give explanation outside of it, but if they kept going, you do get that they almost excluded Jesus out of the Bible.
Okay, let's not get sidetracked. We know that, Lee. But Ed,
oh.
See, Ed doesn't say nothing because he hasn't got anything to tell. But he lives among humans. who want to be told stuff. So he has a website featuring all these people, you know, two or three a day, telling people stuff to people.
Well, no problem. He's laying things out there for them to peruse. But then when they come back to him and say, all right, Ed, now I'm a goddess, and I'm going to tell you how this is going to go, and this, and this, and this, and this. And Ed's going to go, well, okay, you know, interesting, thank you. I'll take it under advisement. I appreciate the interaction. And then he gets through with it, and he's kind of going, excuse me, but are you, let's see, OMG, there must be a BFD. Are you trying to tell me something? And all he's doing is laying it out for the humans to consider. But then when they confuse power with authority, that's when they're going to get in your face telling you how the milk got in the coconut. And what we're telling everybody right here, right now, is when you come into your place of power, you're going to be so busy pleasing and delighting yourself that that won't come up in conversation.
Yeah, I'm saying that Ed delights and pleases himself by featuring other people trying to tell us stuff, whereas Ed's not going to tell us anything. He's trying to hold true to that truing, not truth, but truing. He's trying to hold to that. But he's in the crowd of humans screaming, yelling, so he passes the time sending out all the other tellers of tales.
Mm-hmm. And there's no problem there. All we're saying is that no more is it going to be an easy slipshod, oh, well, I have authority. And by the way he pronounced it is what Truman said to Osaki, oh, bomb her.
And who is Osaki?
It's a place in Japan.
Oh, and you said Truman. You mean Harry Truman? Or?
Yep. Harry Shipman Truman.
And he said what? Obama.
Oh, bomb her.
Oh, bomb her. You mean bomb.
Yeah. Oh, what about you going to do with Osaki? Oh, bomb her.
So is that he helped evoke Obama as a president? That was embedded in the language?
No, Bob. We were just using his translation.
Well, no, but I'm just showing
Obama, and I said, no, that's what Harry S. Truman said, Obama.
Oh, okay, because it's interesting.
Interesting.
But no, it's interesting, that we might, Obama's like the last chance to have a nuclear war, and so the 1945 nightmare has its last gasp in this period up leading up to 2012. A lot of people think about, hey, Ed, does the chatter on the lines imply a nuclear war coming? They definitely were thinking that in 2005 and 2006. You remember that, Ed? Everybody was thinking that Bush was going to escalate into a nuclear war. You remember that?
Oh, sure. That hasn't ended. Nuclear war is still always an option.
That still happens. Yeah, so I'm taking...
Let them eat cake.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking of the Finnegan's Wake resonance of words and language that Obama... Truman, 65 years ago, says that, and then it comes through Obama as a final gasp of that echo. Hey, just a pattern, not trying to tell you anything. Okay,
well,
so let's go on.
And check with Muammar Gaddafi and see how it goes.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, he was figured as a trigger man in the 70s, and he's been laying low. He could pop up out of the blue, right?
Mm.
He could retrieve that scenario.
Ah.
A little hint from, Ion was telling us something, Ed.
Oh.
But don't pursue it, Ed. You'll find Ion does.
No, Ed, this is where you're supposed to say, interesting.
Ed doesn't want to
say
that.
We'll give you the keys. We'll give you the keys to being a superfluous interviewer.
Okay, here we go, part two of David Icke.
Okay, we can't wait.
These reptilian entities seem to operate, and again, it's not just reptilian. There are many different kinds of entities that do not have a human form that operate just outside of human sight. And they operate just outside of visible light. Therefore, we don't see them in the normal course of events. That's just basically like a ghost. When you're looking at a ghostly figure, most of them don't look solid because they're operating just outside of your frequency, just enough for you to perceive something, but not enough for them to appear to be have solidity. This is very similar to having a radio and it not quite being on the station. You can hear the station, but there's what we call interference, and it's not sharp. Visually, that's what's happening when people see these ghostly, ethereal-type figures. So shape-shifting is not the movement from a dense physical body to a dense physical body. It would appear from the endless research that I've done and people I've talked to all over the world and all the rest of it put together, my own experiences sometimes, that what we're looking at are these hybrid bloodlines, because of the hybrid nature of the DNA, the software program, they have a vibrational sympathy with that which interbred with them. And this doesn't have to be physical interbreeding either, as I'll come to.
Hey, Bob, what is vibrational sympathy?
Emotion.
Just outside the eastern gate over there. Yeah, I will meet you.
Would that be love of the force field is what he's getting at?
We have no idea, Bob. He's undone everything you said. Listen, now, Bob, come on now. Come on, Bob, 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 Bob.
Yeah. I've had my green drink. I'm back.
What did he just say? We don't even have anything to respond to. We've asked a few questions. The bloodline is something in and out. You can't see them. You can see them. And if you can see them, you can't see them. And they're a smoke monster. And if they're a smoke monster, then they're not. Unless you're over where the smoke monster is. And then you won't be able to see the smoke monster because you'll be a smoke monster too. And then you'll have vibrational sympathy. What? Come on, Bob. Yeah, I know. There's just not much to ask.
I did have a question. And,
we're back on.
I'm just going to go back and just check that.
Check that one. Run that by us one more time.
And this is very similar to having a radio and it not quite being on the station.
So if you can hear the station not being on the station, can you not hear the station?
Yeah, you can hear it. Alert, but
okay.
It's blurred.
Okay, it's blurred. So these super entity salamanders are just entities. They are in a different position where you can be disturbed by them.
Yes.
Okay. And that's how you're validating that they are. It's because they're getting on your last nerve.
Yeah, and you can pick them up like a ghost.
Well, some might say that about him.
Because
he's getting on their very last nerve.
And we're hearing in his speech electronically a blurred, well, it's clear.
It certainly ain't making, we ain't got two subjects and two verbs that's eased us off at all yet.
It's a good point. He has a blurred thinking.
And that's okay if there's a point. See, that's the thing. If it's all subjective, then you know, hey, go to a coffee shop and write it down and become a Harry Potter author. Everybody would love that, but don't use it to vindicate of how you're sliding hopelessly in the race to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Soon going to be over. Well, if it's that bad, blow your brains out and call it a day. That's got to be more pleasant than going through this.
He was a football player, a famous football player. Is there something? Did he get bumped too much on the head?
No. He got busy with the cheerleader, and she was a salamander. In that eternal flow of the DNA chain that vibrationally was subverted and curtailed. So therefore, if he would come on up and say, oh, I'm the Illuminati, and I'm doing all this to you, and I'm why you're less than, and it's going to be over soon because of what I'm going to do, we'd have much more respect for the whole chatter.
At least I go that far, and when I'm telling people, I tell them that. But the why, you see, what triggered his mind to go into this false premises?
Degrees of separation, looking for reasons why you're less than.
And did he feel less than because he was no longer a football star? Was that a factor in not getting any attention?
Well, it just not necessarily. See, Bob, you got three kingdoms, and you have 6 degrees of separation in each kingdom. Then you start ciphering out that stuff, and you'll find a beast if you keep looking.
So he was looking for a reason and went through himself, all three kingdoms, and he found them in the outer kingdom.
And inner and middle and everywhere, everything you can. He found it in everything a rabbit can do to a stump.
Well, maybe he did. He was trying to get people to take their own power. He would agree with
that. How?
He showed himself on the cover of one of those books with no clothes on.
And that empowered. So they looked at him and felt better about themselves?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a gesture of liberation.
A libertine gospel. Oh,
yes.
Okay. See, but the point is, we're hearing a lot of Radio Gaga, and that's all right. But come on, if you got all this information, tell how to whoop them, or tell how to get what they got, so you can be good as they are. Or figure out what you got to put into what get some birds to come poke the eyeballs of the lizard people out. Birds like lizards, so get you up some good birds. But if the birds come peck the eyes out of the lizards, then the birds would also be more powerful than you too. They might peck your eyes out.
Mm-hmm.
So it just becomes this endless abyss of frivolity.
You know, his pop culture stigma is that he says the queen's a lizard person, or people around her are the lizard person. Did the queen ever hear that David Icke said that? Did that ever?
Sure. Gave it about as much attention as a used Kleenex.
Did she laugh when she heard it?
Well, of course.
Or did she wonder what rot is happening in her kingdom that would lead to this kind of thing?
No. She just signed him up for a world report, and maybe they could get together and have children.
You mean with Chris Story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
So these bloodlines can be, quote, possessed, their emotional, mental faculties taken over much more easily than the general run of the population does not have that hybrid DNA, thus that vibrational sympathy, compatibility between the two energy fields. So what they're doing in effect is using the secret society network they've set up to manipulate these bodies into power, but in doing so they're putting themselves into power because they're controlling the mental and emotional processes of these vehicles. Now, when we look at, say that's a major politician or something, when we look at him with our five-sense sight, we are going to decode that level of him that is operating with invisible light. So what do we see? We see a human. But behind him, just outside of that frequency range, we'd see something very different. And I've met endless people who've seen it, who do have that ability to move their visual frequency range further than the norm.
Do you know anybody who can move their visual frequency beyond the norm and see these reptilians, Ion?
Not reptilians, but you certainly can see auras. You can see that the non-physical is bigger than the physical. You can see the dynamic of the human creator in their place of power. And yet, still, now if all these people can see them, why don't they go take a double-barrel butcher knife and string them up and make pocketbooks out of them?
Oh, they've tried.
Oh, well, I mean, that ought to make alligator shoes and and lizards.
Oh, no, there's two. The lizards are too cagey. It's hard to get to them. They've tried to get to them.
Oh, so you're screwed then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, get in the field then and start picking that cotton. If that's the best you got, then go with it. Find bliss or joy in that place of mess.
Well, we're almost finished this soundbite, and then we go on to Catherine Austin Fitz. Whole different range of topic.
So what is happening is with shape-shifting, or one way that it's happening.
Shape-shifting. Is shape-shifting possible in any way,
certainly,
Ion?
Certainly.
How is that?
Well, your bride is up before you.
Yes.
She sees you during the day. Then you go to bed. You get up, you look completely different when you get out of bed than you did when you went to bed.
Right.
Completely different.
She doesn't see me go to bed, so she doesn't know how different I look.
She sees you before she sees you when she goes to bed, and you look a certain way, and then morning you look completely different. Shape shifting is no different than just even in different light. If what he's saying, the light, then you could see someone in a different light, then they'd be shape shifted.
Okay, so that's happening in our perception. So is there a more?
What else is it shape shifting but in your perception?
Right. Well, and we can be do have whatever you want. So you could.
Well, no. Don't even. That's a byline. That's a pat answer, Bob. Like, get back to the details. If shape shifting is seeing yourself in a different light, because that's all you can see is what your sensories allow you to perceive. Well, if that's the case, then everything is shape-shifting.
That's right. So if we take it that way, we'd have to ask him to be specific. But he means these invisible guys whose shapes we can't see are the shape-shifting.
Well, if they're invisible, why in the hell do you care if they're shape-shifting? If they're outside the sympathetic vibrational dystrophy that you're laying out here and you can't see them no way, how in the hell are you going to know if they're shifting? I mean, we're just asking because Lord's suffering cats.
Here we go.
Is sometimes that energy field just outside of visible light moves in to that frequency range. It sometimes happens when this vehicle is going through great emotional turmoil. I've had that story told to me many times when people have seen this, the circumstances surrounding it. And at that point, this energy field enters visible light and becomes the prime forward energy field, and then it goes back again. To the observer, who is decoding that energy field through the brain and turning it into a physical experience, what he observes only in his head is human, non-human, human. Did you see that? But it wasn't physical, it was a change in the decoding of the brain of the energy field it's observing. So what we're looking at, I would suggest, but you know, people make of it what they will, are fields where we decode the human one, but behind it is another one that looks anything but human. And someone sent me this picture, I don't know who it's of, but he's got very reptilian type eyes, and a friend of mine has been working recently with someone who's been involved in a big iris scanning technological program, not something I agree with, I say, iris scanning, but what he found, and he's into none of this stuff, what he found as he, these people looked at very closely at 2,300 eyes, to their amazement, in his estimation, about 4% of the eyes they looked at were of reptilian type and appearance. Again, Roman Polanski, was talking from knowledge, shall I put it, when he made that film Rosemary's Baby in the 60s with Mia Farrow. And for anyone who doesn't know about that, if you can get hold of a copy, it's worth watching. Mia Farrow is pulled in unknowingly because they want her to interbreed with one of these non-human entities to give birth to a child of the bloodline. And this satanic group get hold of her and they put her under mind control and they impregnate her and stuff. And towards the end of the film, when she starts to realize what's going on, she goes into this apartment where it all went on. Her memories start to come back, and she sees the baby she gave birth to in a non-conscious state, and you have a quick flash of it in the movie, and it's a reptilian baby with reptilian eyes. Well, Polanski should know, let's put it that way. All the way through history, you have this theme of possession and of fighting the snake or fighting the dragon and all the rest of it. That's the theme I'm talking about, and it's the software hybrid bloodline, which has led to hybrid people, possessed people, being in positions of power. So you look at the human level, but what's behind it?
Okay. That means that Rosemary Baby was the first MK Ultra movie. Maybe there
no,
was
It's Alive was done long before that. It's Alive was a whole big series.
Yeah, and then there's Men,
Baby.
And then there's Manchurian Candidate, and 63 was Frank Sinatra. So, yeah, I'm just thinking, though there is an updated, linking it to the devil rather than the communists in the Manchurian Candidate, linking it to the devil. Rosemary's Baby is the first, maybe, of that archetype.
But
I mean,
he ain't talking about no devil. He's talking about lizards.
Right, but the demonic and well, yeah, actually, Rosemary's Baby is the key movie. It's pointing out the lizard truth that Roman Polanski knew, according
Lord
to.
Lord have mercy.
And it's timely because Roman just got freed. His friends in Switzerland, the authorities, gonna drop the charges or not force him to go to America to accept the charge. So the lizard people in Switzerland helped Roman Polanski.
Cool.
So he was trying to say that the shape-shifting was a product of our perceptual apparatus. Wasn't he saying that, sort of like what you were saying?
Well, kind of, but if you can't sit there outside, you got to piss them off before they get into a distraught emotional state so that you can discern whether or not they're lizarded or not.
Okay, Ed, was he saying that you have the invisible spectrum, then you see them in the human, they come in here for a minute, then they go back? And the fact that you saw them and then you didn't see them indicates that you saw a lizard who was shape-shifting. Basically, is that what he was saying? So you can only know them if they become visible in this spectrum for a moment and then disappear.
But since they have this heightened bloodline, they'd be smart enough to know that, and he's told it all, so they'll have to hone in their inner kingdom field. So they can remain shifted out of sight. Right. Yeah.
Right. Got it. And that comes from the inner kingdom.
That's
of themselves.
About. Yes. Yes.
But in ourselves, our inner kingdom decides how we relate to the outer kingdom.
Well, if there's an emotion wrought, it's wrought in the inner kingdom. So, yeah. But there's too many these and this and that and sorta and proximity and rationale and bloodline
and DNA. DNA.
Something, you know.
We know DNA is not that important.
No. You don't even know what it is. So everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about DNA and they don't even know what to look for. That's a very recent technology. I guess the reptiles let it slip so you could figure out how to see it.
Yeah, I always was impressed to how McLuhan pointed out that DNA was an icon. And it resonated with the TV image, and that's the only reality he had. He didn't put any reality in the DNA biological stuff the scientists sweat over, and he was right. There was nothing behind the DNA. It's just an image that was popular for a while, just like Dave Icke resonated with certain sensibilities of victimhood in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. It's antacid.
Antacid.
No,
Uncle.
Antacid.
DNA is just an acid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... anything you want to say about Icke? I think, again, another source of entertainment, Ed, that's merely phatic, that's disguised as something that's emphatic and has something to tell us.
We liked Icke, but we're not so fond of Icke.
Icke. Ike Eisenhower is what you're referring to, for those who don't know that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I noticed Laura Eisenhower, Ed, is a popular new fringe media. What, do you know what her message is?
Well, she's saying that she's been approached by individuals in a secret government who want her to go to Mars to participate in a program that they have there.
And she's Eisenhower's granddaughter or something?
Yes, and that's part of the reason they want her to go, is because she has part of that bloodline.
Wow. So she's very appropriate that I bring her up. There's my good synchrony or intuition. I bring up someone I know nothing about, though. I just know she's a name and related. And she's a she's a combination of Ikey and Kathy O'Brien.
Or she'd be a distillation if you follow this DNA introversion. Here you go, Ed. Now, there's your song to go along with it. This is, we're going to introduce now, first time, the Fa Sol La. You go and find a song in the Fa Sol La called Rocky Road.
And that is the theme we're talking with Kathy, David, and Laura?
No. Just this section right here for this unknown knowing that you're screwed and undone. It's in the Fa Sol La, and the name of it is Rocky Road. Now, this is some of that music. Now, remember, we'll treat you so many ways you're bound to like some of them. But now, we've not introduced the Fa Sol La at all. But it's great fun. And if you listen, there'll be a couple of versions. Find some, because this is old-timey. So you may have trouble getting the right something you can get on your speakers that is clear. Because it's going to roll along, but that'll be a great place to introduce Rocky Road.
Yeah, if someone has a superficial listening or scanning of Ion's musical recommendations, they might think he favors old-timey music, but you actually do a lot of modern music. Right, Ed? Would you agree with me? And although some might be struck by the gospel in the Fa Sol La?
Fa Sol La. It comes right before I Want to Be a Billionaire So Fucking Bad.
Hey, I saw that song. I actually maybe clicked on it on Ed's site. That was a funny little song. Is that a huge hit, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with young people, yes.
And hot right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so but Laura is combining the do you see some of the aspects of Kathy O'Brien and David Icke? Do you see that, Ed?
Well, Laura doesn't feel that she's a victim. She told him no, and she has her own spirituality that she's working with.
Oh, okay. So
she said no thank you to the Mars program.
Well, isn't that sort of finding an odd meme to declare your power against? You know, okay, they asked me to be a invisible vibrational proximity shape-shifting post-light, non-light, paralight situation. They wanted me to, let's bring in Jay Wiedner, wanted me to be part of the 60,000-year cycle. The alternative was to be a dolphin, and I looked at the dolphin aspect. I looked at Flippergate, and I looked at Marsgate, and I said, no, I did to Blanche. No way. You ain't. I own Mars. I own the dolphins. I ain't going with your program, and I declared my power. There seems to be a little, that could be explained in by body terms very easily, but in general, that is an interesting thing to declare your power against, isn't it, Ed? You see my point? Couldn't you? Why do you need that to declare your power against?
And she's a Magdalene. Her name is Laura Magdalene Eisenhower.
She's got even more reasons why she's powerful.
Well, but the same thing is true, though. If a big old dog comes and humps your leg or takes a pee on your shoe, is that reason enough to go to Vanity Fair and give an interview?
Did she do that? Did she go to Vanity Fair? Would she give up her name and all that makes her interesting? Wouldn't you say, Ed, that people are interested in her a bit because she's connected to a television icon known as Ike?
He was a president, Bobby. He was not a television icon.
Oh, yes, he was. That's what presidencies are. And if you don't know, I'm going to have to tell you something, Mr. Ion, if you don't understand that. What do you think the TV body is referring to? Back to the days when there was a TV landscape. Analog, one-way broadcasting. I like Ike.
Oh.
He was known as, you know, the I understand and remember the only image of him was a guy on the golf course. That was Ike. And maybe a bit of footage from World War II. That was his iconic profile.
Well, the Saturday Evening Post always put him in as a bald-headed, wrinkly-headed man.
Yeah, that fits. That's the tribal authority figure. The wisdom of the ages there. Boy, Ed, where you hear the show on Wednesday? Oh, do I have some new information? It's going to go way beyond Kathy O'Brien, David Icke. This is going to weird them, weird their shape shifting. It's going to be awesome. Okay, that was just a little commercial. Planting the past in the future. Is that what I'm doing?
for your next knowing now.
Yeah. So what? Here I am in what will be the past, but it's for most people who haven't heard this yet. Their future. So I am presenting something in their future, which will become
your
my past.
Your future, too, because you're speaking of it in the reference of wait until. Well, if you have to wait until must already be.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't
okay.
have to wait until.
That's right. I agree.
Think about it. You're making the statement, wait until. Well, if it's until, why are you waiting on until if you're not including the past, present, and your future in your now?
Well, point taken.
You grammarian, you.
Okay, so, okay, Ed, I'm now moving over
so
to...
So now we can go to some interesting stuff?
Yes.
Catherine, oh, good. We couldn't wait.
Catherine Austin Fitz.